originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who tucked Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Barajabort crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. Thank you to everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. Please visit the website if you are able to help at www.pdjf.org. So our guest tonight, she was England's champion female apprentice in 2010, but made the move to the States in 2013. 2 years later, she was getting her picture taken after guiding Fioretti to an upset victory in the Grade II Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes. Last month, she scored her second graded stakes victory with Street Band in the TwinSpires.com Fairgrounds Oaks, securing their spot in the 2019 Kentucky Oaks. With 328 wins and over $6 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to welcome jockey Sophie Doyle. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christina. Good evening to you.
Sophie, you've got to be on cloud 9 right now. You've got to be pretty excited.
Oh, absolutely. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I mean, I'm still grinning. My cheekbone's still hurt from smiling so much right now. It's been pretty amazing time right now.
You actually worked Street Band at Churchill, what was that, yesterday?
Yes, yesterday morning.
How'd she go?
She went fantastic. She worked 5/8 in a minute and two, and she just cruised along, gave me every great feel that she has done since I've been riding her, and I'm really happy with her. She's been fantastic in the mornings, and yesterday she just basically kept the electric alive again. Just can't wait for the big day now.
Street Band trained by Larry Jones. Now, Larry's somewhat of a legend, especially good with the fillies, but overall he's had so many great horses. He's had the likes of Hard Spun, I'm a Chatterbox, Proud Spell, Havre de Grace, Believe You Can, just to name a few. What's it like riding for Larry Jones?
It's absolutely brilliant. You talk to him in the morning when you're going into Breeze. And for me, mostly, Larry Jones has been up in Oaklawn pretty much the whole time while I was in the fairgrounds. So I was speaking most of the time with his assistant, Corey York. I asked him even the day of the Fairground Oaks, I said to him, would you like me to give Larry a call? Or what did he give me any advice or what to do? And he just said to me, just make sure you finish in the top three if you can. I looked to him, I said, top three? I said, we're going to win this. And that's exactly what we went out and done. And Larry was absolutely, he was over the moon. He was so happy and so proud of the filly. He is a pleasure to work for and so easy, and he's so kind. And, he takes his time to talk to you and listen to what you have to say. And, if we need to make any plans, we do. And he's just such a kind gentleman, and it's just a tremendous, an honored feeling to be riding for him and, to be going into the Oaks with his fourth Oaks filly. And that's just what an amazing feeling. And feel, it's pretty kind and feel pretty special right now to be in that position, to be able to you know, be with a shot to try and win his four folks for him.
It's funny, Sophie. I was actually talking to Corey the other day, and as typical, when you have a nice horse, all these other agents are swarming your barn, trying to get them out. And Corey said, you know, both himself and Larry were just going on and on about what a good fit you are with Streepa and how she needs someone patient. And she's a little, you know, as a typical chestnut filly, she's a little high-strung sometimes, from what I understand. Yeah. But they're just so happy with you. And, you know, it wasn't even, from what I understood, it wasn't even a question to not have you ride her in the Kentucky Oaks. Tell us about, you rode her in her last five starts. Tell us what you've learned about Streepa.
I've learned about Streepa that she's a type of filly that she gets a little bit hyper and it's a bit on her toes in the post grades. And, you know, sometimes even, in, you know, going into the gate and in the gate, you've just got to sit real nice and quiet on her and just keep talking to her. Usually if you're out on the track, you'll hear me whistling to her all the time. It just seems to work. And just try and have patience. And most of the time I let my pony rider that takes me in the post position, pre-post parade, I let her take control of the street band and I just sit there quietly. So, you know, so her and I just stay pretty calm and relaxed and we start to trust each other. And you know, she can, I think it, and when I get to ride her in the morning, you know, that's when we get a real connection together, that we get to know more of each other around the barn and go and watch her. And I just give her a bunch of peppermints this some mornings just so she feels really confident and happy with each other. And then come race day, as soon as she comes out of them gates, it's all about just keeping her relaxed for the first quarter. And then from then on, it's just, you just sail and enjoy the ride with her.
You worked her the other day, as we mentioned, Sophie. How does she take to the track at Churchill Downs?
She's moving great. I've ridden her on two workouts now over the Churchill track, and she's been, you know, pretty nice. She's traveled pretty strongly, and she's covered the ground really well. She seems to be stretching out really nicely and taking to the track really well, and really enjoying her. And every time I've been on her out there, it just, you know, gives you more and more fire to get ready for the big day, and I can't wait for it.
The big day, Sophie. You were a winner on another big day with Fioretti in the Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes. And take us back. We had you on the show a couple years ago, and we talked about it in a little bit more detail. But take us back to that day with Fioretti, and is this moment with Streepa, is that kind of bringing back some memories?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, Fioretti, we got along so well together. It brings back all the memories that, you know, it just, like they say, it just takes one to take you there and keep you in good fashion with people, and, you know, to be back on a really nice filly like Street Band after Fioretti is fantastic. And, you know, Fioretti, she did so much for my career. I'm forever thankful for her, and, you know, maybe one day soon, maybe next year or the year after, I'll be riding one of her babies eventually. So I'll be looking forward to that one.
What will riding Street Band in the Kentucky Oaks do for your career?
Who knows? I mean, if it was to go the same way as it did with Rosie Napravnik with Larry Jones, I think I'd be pretty happy with that one. But who knows what can happen? I'm excited to ride the big day. I'm super confident. I really, you know, I'm super high on Street Band, and I think she's got the class and the talent to go out there and pass the winning post first.
Sophie, can you put into words what a win in the Kentucky Oaks would mean for you?
I think basically it'd be just another dream come true. It would be such a thrill and just amazing and so humbling to be out there and to be a part of a race that's got so much history, along with the Kentucky Derby. It's just absolutely an amazing experience. And I'm looking forward to even just hearing the crowd when you come out to ride and when you step out onto the track, and, you know, having that feeling when you're coming down the finish, down to the wire, and you can just feel the vibe from the crowd cheering you on, and that, you know, it's just been an absolutely amazing feeling. I think after the race, I might be a bit speechless afterwards if that was to happen. But either way, you know, if we win or we don't win, you know, it would just be the same feeling, that it's just amazing to be there and to be a part of the history, and to know that I've got to ride in one of the classic races in America would just be absolutely, I think it's an amazing place.
Sophie, walk me through your preparation when you're going into a big race like this. How do you get ready?
My day usually starts the same as it always does. I'll probably wake up early, probably head to the track. I imagine this on Friday morning, I'll probably not have many hours of sleep, or if I try if I can. And then in the morning time, I'll probably head to the track early, go and check on Street Band and see how she's doing. Probably have the last few words of pep talk for each other. Give her a good bunch of peppermints to make her feel good, and so she's happy when she sees me again coming out for the race. And then I'll probably go around and see a couple of trainers that I ride for, and you know, just do the same thing as I always do every morning, is head out to the track, enjoy the horses, talk with everybody that you're friends with and you have a good conversation with. Just keep yourself kind of grounded, really. I think even when it comes to the big days, you don't need to change too much, and just to go out there and be yourself. So that'd be my first start to the morning. And then once I head over to the jocks room, and I'm in the jocks room, they have a Churchill Downs, they have a great fitness studio that was put in by Planet Fitness. So as my race is obviously going to be very late in the day, unless I'm riding a few hours earlier in the day, I imagine I'll probably go in there and have a good an hour workout on the running machine, and have a good probably interval running with sprints, and then do some workouts on the floor with a few weights and exercises, just to, you know, keep your fitness there and be fit and ready and warmed up and ready to go and win a race. Especially riding one as big as this, you want to be in tip-top shape going into the race and know that you haven't left any stones unturned.
Working out prior to the race, do you think that also helps you mentally?
Yes, definitely. I think it helps you, like I said, to keep yourself grounded and in the right frame of mind. Because Oaks and Derby Day, it's pretty busy up there in the jock swim and in the seating area. So I probably myself would like to probably keep myself a bit more quiet and away from away from all the hype and all the action going on at the moment, and then just keep myself in the right frame of mind and focus on the right things and not have too many, you know, just there's so many people up there in the jocks room on those days. I'd like to just keep myself focused on what I'm actually there to do, and to go out there. I want to go out there and perform my best and do the best I can for my connections.
Joggy Sophie Doyle joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sophie, you've mentioned a couple times, makes me smile, how you like to go out in the mornings and just love on the horses. And I get that feeling from you that you just truly love the animal. And that's why you're part of this game. And, you know, there's been some negativity surrounding racing recently, and I love to hear this. It's about the animal. It's about the love for the horse. And you're so big on thoroughbred aftercare, thoroughbred retirement, and you're actually very involved with that. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and what you've done with your own horse.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't for the horses, nobody would be in this game. And when it comes down to it, you know, they're the big athletes. They're the ones that we're so grateful for. And I'm a child, I'm a woman that grew up as a child with horses my whole life. I had my own little ponies. Then I would ride my mum's thoroughbreds when I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and just to do, like, walk them around the stable yard, and had as much involvement as I could with them. And I then grew up with the showing ponies, doing the show jumping. I wasn't quite into the eventing as much as I got older, because I liked going too fast on the flat. So we stayed stuck to racing, and it's just such a thrill, and it's such an incredible job to be able to wake up in the morning and not just to go and meet one horse, but you go and see thousands of different horses out on the track and walk around the barns, and they all have their own different characters about them. That is just, it's so nice walking through any barn on any racetrack to know that you're surrounded by such amazing animals. And I have one special horse myself called Jazz, and his name was Jazz and Tap when he was racing for Larry Demerit. And he gave me my first ever win in America at Churchill Downs. So when I found out that he was going to be retired, I went and saw Larry and looked at him and said, well, can I have him? And he looked at me and he was like, you really want to take him? I said, absolutely. I said, he's my horse. I said, I won my first race in America on him, and he's been so special to me. I would love to take him. So myself and Jazz, we've been off all last summer. We were going off trail riding, doing show jumping, dressage, and I managed to get to be able to take him to a couple of shows, which he really excelled at. And his new love for himself is show jumping. I found that he will absolutely love to jump. I've got him jumping now as high as 4 foot over a couple of fences, which he seems to like. The higher it goes, the better he loves it. But unfortunately, he's kind of in the same frame of mind as me. We don't do the cross country too much. I've tried taking him over a few rustic fences, and it's like he gets to them and he's like, I'm going. No. Just does not want to do the cross country. So I said, that's fine by me. We can carry on doing the show jumping and go with the dressage. And he also he's still part of the track because he works the ponies. He works with the horses for Chris Davis's barn as well. So he helps to teach the babies, and he breaks off quite a few horses going to the pole, which he very quickly learned how it's fantastic to go fast for a short period of time. But once you let that other horse go, he hits them brakes and says, that's far enough. So he's enjoying his job, and he enjoys the time that when I'm able to take him out away from the track and go trail riding and take him and show jumping. He really enjoys that, and he just, it's so so kind and lovely to have a horse for myself that, you know, I ride so many horses in the morning that I get to enjoy and I get to love on. But I feel like there's nothing more special than having your own horse that you get to go and see and play with and have fun with every single day. And to me, I really enjoy that. And that's what I've always grown up doing ever since I was a little girl, that I'm there for the love of the horses.
He has, what a life that horse has. So spoiled.
Yeah, he's very spoiled. He gets all the mints that he wants. He's the only horse, I think, in the barn that has to have all four bandages on. And he has his own color, so nobody can take them and question me then when I can't find them. So I keep everything separate. And I think he's possibly the only horse in Kentucky this spring that had a nice thick winter blanket on with a hood on up his neck to keep his neck warm and his ears warm. And everyone would kept saying, oh, he doesn't need that. And I said, yes, he does. Like, he needs to keep a warm coat because when, you know, with the temperature is up and down so much that one day it's, you know, it feels like 32 outside, and then like today it's 83 degrees out. So I try to keep him feeling good about himself and keep his coat looking nice, and he gets very, thoroughly spoiled every day.
So you said he loves show jumping. Do you think most horses you've ridden, do you think they love what they do? Do you think they love running?
Yes, I think they absolutely do. I mean, but if you watch horses in the wild, they're a herd animal. And that's what they do. When they're out in the wild, they run. If you ever said to me, I never saw a horse, like I only ever saw a horse stand still, he never moves, you'd be lying. Every horse out in the wild, when they're in a big herd like they are, almost in a race, that's what they're born to do. That's their nature, is to run. and that's how, you know, we get to enjoy with them. And that's when you see us in a race, that's where you're able to play your tactics, that you find the way they like to run in the herd, and whether that's they like to be at the front or in the middle of the pack, or they like to come from behind. You know, that's how you find your horses that are front runners, off the pace coming from behind. And when those horses excel for you and they find their running style, you know, they're fantastic to ride, and the motion underneath you is just, it's an amazing feeling.
What does street band's motion feel like to you?
Wants to go fast. I'm not going to lie. The first quarter of the race, she's pretty tough. But once we get her to relax, and I let her be comfortable. That's the big key with any horse, really, is finding where they're comfortable and where they're enjoying to run their race. And for street band, she's pretty tough for the first part, but I just keep her relaxed. Let her sit up behind a couple of horses, one or two, and then she gets to drop her head, and then she relaxes. And once you feel her take that breath and she relaxes under you, you just let her run up in your hands. And then turning for home was about three furlongs out to 2.5 out. She'll give you a little squeeze, and she'll let you know when she's ready to suddenly, let's go and get the job done.
Where do you hope to be placed in the race Friday?
I think there's quite a bit of speed in there. I think they will go pretty quick. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see fractions of 22 and change and 45 or 46. You know, she sat off fractions that were with 47, and she managed to go away and win with those kind of fractions. So if the fractions are pretty strong next on Friday, then I might just sit her off a little bit more to keep her relaxed. And I know that I've got a filly that can really finish, and she's going to get every yard of the distance.
Jockey Sophie Doyle joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sophie, you have a great relationship with your mother and your brother. Your brother's a champion jockey in England as well. Will they be making the trip to Churchill Downs?
My brother, unfortunately, won't be able to this time because it's Guineas weekend at Newmarket in England. So I think he's aboard one of the favourites in there. So he has to be there for his commitments and connections. And as for my mum already flew in last Thursday. I was able to pick her up in Chicago and drive her on down. And she's been enjoying every moment of it. She's been coming to the track as normal. She's just like me, and it's where I get it from, that she wants to get up in the morning, come and see the horses, and enjoy being out and around with me. So she's, and at the moment I've been having so many, people like yourself ringing and asking if I can be on a show or do an interview here and there. So she's been doing a great job at, doing my kind of like my PR work and keeping everything in line and up to date, because I think she knows jockeys, we're all over the place. So I'm trying to keep my diary in check every day, and she's been doing a great job at that for me, and it's an absolute pleasure, and I'm so happy that she's here with me to enjoy this experience. There's nothing like a mother's love.
She has to be so proud of her daughter, and she knows exactly, the nature of the business. She was a trainer and a steeplechase jockey. I mean, she's done it all herself, so she knows all about it. But Sophie, only a couple minutes left. Sophie, I saw something on Facebook. You were busy today, actually. You were on a mechanical horse at the University of Kentucky. What was that about?
Yeah, I was at the University of Kentucky with the Sports Medicine Research Institute, which is conducted by Kimberly Thompson and Carolina, who are there doing all the research. So what they're doing is, it's a research center set up for equestrians to be able to go over there and do work out on their fitness and find out there's a strength and balance. So today I was doing exactly that. I was doing finding out the strength with my arms and my legs. Then we did a balance workout, which is to try and see how much core you're using or how much legs you're using, how much of your legs you're using for balance. And they take some measurements and they do their own inquiries as to what sort of pressure you're using. And then we moved on to doing the Equisizer, which is an electronical one. So when you get on the Equisizer there, when you put pressure on the neck starts to move and pick up, and it'll pick up speed with you and get into motion. So today I was there with all these different dots all over my body that were stuck on. So you're kind of like seeing the whole motion of what my body is doing as I'm riding a particular race, which was one that Mike Smith had the camera on, and when he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly at Del Mar on the dirt. So you're in the gate with him on the horse, and then you just break out, start riding your race along with him, so you get the horse to pick up speed, and then you ride the race to everything that Mike Smith is doing, including coming down the lane, riding as hard as you can, getting that horse to pick up. And then with all the dots on your body, they're able to pick up all the motion that's going on, how you're moving your body, how you're moving your arms, your head, your legs, and what they're doing and how much they're engaging while you're riding the horse. And then also is able to read if your balance is where your balance is, and if you're shifting a little bit to the left, to the right, or if you had a little bit too much hold, like how much the pressure you have on the reins. They're also able to read that as well. So it's a really interesting and intriguing research that they're doing for the jockeys. And it'll be super interesting to find out what my results are in the next week or two.
That's amazing. They're able to do that. And so jockeys use every muscle in their body. So I'm sure that was so fascinating to watch, you know, and whatever results you get as well will tell you just that. Pretty amazing. So you'll be using all of your muscles this coming Friday in the Kentucky Oaks as you guide Street Band, hopefully to a victory that day. And I can't thank you enough. Wishing you all the best, Sophie.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on this evening. Thank you.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Check out the schedule on the website as well. We'll be bringing you all of the latest Derby news and coverage as we get closer to the running of the 145th Kentucky Derby. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Dallapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.